lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Last time in the book of Ruth, we looked at verse 11 of chapter 4, and we've been reading about the Redeemer. The Redeemer, of course, in this book of Ruth is Boaz. Boaz was a man who we could see, and of course, this is something he fell in love at first sight. You may have heard that term before. He saw Ruth, and from that point on, he wasn't the same. Maybe that's happened to you in this life. I don't know. Boaz actually fell in love with Ruth, and he became her kinsman redeemer. Of course, that reminds me about Jesus Christ and God the Father. It says in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, that God created, and he was in love with man from the beginning. Then later on, we know that man messed up, and sin came into the world. According to the Bible, Jesus didn't give up on us. God didn't give up on us. Because John chapter 3 and verse 16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that word world in that verse, that word means you and I. That word world means people. He loves us so much, we could say it was love at first sight. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to give us life. He sent him to be our Redeemer, just as Boaz became the Redeemer of Ruth. Well, last time I mentioned the fact of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. See, this book is so beautiful because it talks about where our Redeemer would come from. And I'm speaking of the book of Ruth. It's such a wonderful love story. And we know that Boaz was Ruth's Redeemer, but what about our Redeemer? In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." But we keep reading and studying the Word of God, and we see that Bethlehem, where the Messiah was born, is in the south near Jerusalem in the territory of Judah. Well, there are two Bethlehems. You may not have known that. The other Bethlehem is in the north near Nazareth in the territory of Zebulun. Well, the most famous Bethlehem is located in the hill country approximately 2,500 feet above sea level. And this is in Judah, of course. It's situated on the main highway so that it was known variously as, you guessed it, Ephratah. Genesis 35:16 talks about that, and Bethlehem Ephratah and Bethlehem Judah, the city of David, according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. You can read that. Bethlehem of Zebulun is now a ruin. This is not the Bethlehem of Ephratah. The Bethlehem of Zebulun is now a ruin, and it was located about 6 miles northwest of Nazareth. You see, it's mentioned specifically only once in the Bible among the listing of cities within the tribal allotment of Zebulun during the time of Joshua. Now, you can read about this in Joshua chapter 19 and verse 10 and verse 15. But you ask, why is this important? Well, it's rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know these things. We need to understand there is nothing accidental with God. He tells us everything if we just want to look for it and read it. He gives us everything that we need to know in the Scriptures. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible goes on to say, "And let thy house be like the house of Phares, Remember now, a blessing had been pronounced upon Boaz and Ruth, a blessing that would be born now. Notice it says that, as we read that last, we read it the last time about the blessing, and there was a blessing that Boaz would be honored in Ephrathah. He would have kids, and they would be honored like Rachel and Leah. Ruth would have children like Rachel and Leah, and continue on with the bloodline of Israel. See, this is so important that we need to realize that. The promised blessing here is continued in verse 12 as we read. Let's read it now. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Well, a blessing's being pronounced here, and it's continued on in verse 12 from verse 11. And the Lord's seed would come from this young woman. Once again, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 talks about that. Well, as we look in verse 13, it says, So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. The blessing is starting to come about here because she had a son now, and the birth took place. A son is born. God's command is honored here. He told us back in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, chapter 9, and verse 1, and verse 7, and also in Genesis 35:11, be fruitful and multiply, he said. Now, Ruth and Boaz are listening to God. They're listening to what God has said for them to do. Thank the Lord, Boaz and Ruth observe the command of God to be fruitful, because Ruth 4:13 says, she bare a son. Well, in verse 14, it says, And the women said unto Naomi. Now, remember, this is the mother-in-law of Ruth. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Well, Boaz is carrying on the bloodline now. God has allowed Ruth to bear a son at this point, and Naomi here is blessed. The women of Bethlehem pronounce a blessing upon Naomi here. Not only did they pronounce a blessing upon Ruth and Boaz, but they pronounced a blessing upon Naomi. Well, these women seem to be saying to Naomi, God did not leave you, but has blessed you with a kinsman, and the name of Boaz will be famous in Israel. On verse 15 it says, And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Of course, they're speaking here, of course, of the son who was born. And we see here life. In essence, the kinsman Boaz had given Naomi new hope, a new outlook on life. The new hope and outlook was the son. The son born had given her a new reason to enjoy her old age. As we keep reading here, we see that the Gentile Ruth was used to bear the son. And as we study about Ruth, we see that God blessed her so much. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, And they took them wives of the women of Moab. Well, once again, this is where Ruth came from. But in spite of where she was born, God used her. God blessed her. In spite of where we're born into sin, God can bless us if we'll let Him. And we see Ruth. Ruth let God bless her because she went the right way. She chose to go the right way. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us what Naomi did with the child. It says, And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Naomi's life was looking up. She was a grandma now. In verse 17, it says, And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, This is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Well, the women of Bethlehem gave the child a name, and the child's name was Obed, the grandfather of David. Well, the meaning of Obed is servant of God, a worshiper, a follower. And so it's scriptural, the name that they gave the child. Now we see here the family now. In verse 18, it goes on to say, "Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron." I'd like to remind you of something here. You see, sometimes we kind of fall asleep when we're reading about these genealogies, but they're very important. Because as we read this, we see that it leads up to the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And looking back and forward, we see this. Phares is the father of Hezron, and Phares is the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of David. Genesis chapter 38, verse 29, and 1 Chronicles chapter 2 talks about that. Now, don't fall asleep while I'm reading these names. You need to be reading along with me. Verse 19, "And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab." Well, this is lineage. Hezron is the father of Ram. Hezron is the great, 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 great grandfather of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 9, and 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 3. Well, then we keep reading that Ram is the father of Amminadab. Ram is the great, 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 great grandfather of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, verse 20 of Ruth chapter 4. "And Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon." There's the lineage again. Amminadab is the father of Nahshon. Amminadab is the great, 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 great grandfather of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 10. I'm not finished yet. Nahshon is the father of Salmon, and Nahshon is the great, great, great grandfather of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 11. Well, now we're down to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 21. "And Salmon begat Boaz." That name's familiar, isn't it? We've been studying about Boaz. "And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed." There's the lineage. Salmon is the father of Boaz. Salmon is the great-great-grandfather of David, and Boaz is the father of Obed. And Boaz is the great-grandfather of David. Well, now listen to this. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 22. "And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." Here's the lineage. Obed is the father of Jesse. Obed is the grandfather of David, and Jesse is the father of David. Well, the Bible says about David, he was a man after God's own heart, according to Acts chapter 13. Well, I've listed these names to show that nothing is left to chance where God is concerned. God has a plan, and his name and his plan has been from the beginning. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You see how this leads up to the birth of Christ? Jesus Christ from the seed of David. Jesus Christ came into this world. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth." Who would come forth? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. God's word is so good. God's word is so full of promises to us as human beings. And might I say to you that God leaves nothing to chance. He wants you to know him as Savior. And especially as we think about the near kinsman that we've been reading about in the book of Ruth, Jesus Christ is the one who can redeem. He wants to redeem you, and he can redeem you because he is the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost and to save people. And if you know him today as your Savior, serve him. Let God lead and guide your life. Serve him. Tell others about Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.